News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So let me take a brief aside from the triple dipper here and just tell you the breaking news on the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. Literally, while we were at break, the jury verdict was read and Johnny Depp won the case. So yeah, the jury found Amber Heard not only guilty, they found her guilty on all counts. And they not only found her guilty, they awarded $10 million to Johnny Depp and $5 million more in what's known as punitive damages. For those who are not aware, punitive damages are basically designed to punish. They are, you go outside of the actual damages, the compensatories, the things that someone has lost, per se, and then you go one step further and you take the extraordinary step of awarding what's known as punitive damages, which is where you basically say, and don't you ever do this again, and by golly, here's how we're going to punish you, $5 million more dollars. So that's a major win for Depp. Now, the interesting thing is there was one piece of Amber Heard's counterclaim against the Depp camp that she prevailed on to a smaller or lesser degree. She was awarded $2 million, but I think that was not actually against anything Depp himself had done, but something his agent had done in response to her, and they found that to be defamatory, but it's going to be a total offset. So in essence, the Depp side wins $13 million. That's big doings. And I'm curious to see. I mean, basically the claim was that she, Amber Heard, apparently acted with actual malice by writing things about him that she knew at the time they were written were not true, and she did it with the intent to defame him. And it had the result of him, according to Depp, it had the result of coming out in public in such a way that he lost a major movie role, which would have been part of the Pirates of the Caribbean syndicated franchise. So, yes, that's big doings. I'm curious to see how this goes into the you know, the overall legal lexicon when it comes to defamation claims. It's, you know, the case was tried in Fairfax, Virginia. Don't know yet how that could, you know, apply to things under Alabama law per se. But what we may see is some sympathetic secondary law in terms of reviewing the standards that were set by this case and whether that goes anywhere. And we still don't know whether there'll be an appeal. That's also something that Amber Heard has a right to appeal. We'll see. Anyway, there's that. Lawyer Phil giving you the update on the breaking news on the case that I didn't care about until just now. But what you got, Copper? Say it.
Oh, I just, man, if this drags out even more. It's been, what, 4 years now?
Yeah, but it won't. Has it been 4 years? But it won't drag out in the public eye. The appellate process is sort of behind closed doors, if you will. And when I say behind closed doors, what I mean is it's largely done in briefs. And the most public aspect of it would be if the appellate court had what they call oral arguments, where you actually come and your attorneys argue in person. They may just, if it's appealed, it may just get appealed on briefs alone. But we'll see. For right now, the very public side of this entire debacle, this, you know, absolute breakdown of humanity is over. And it is, Fox is being cute. They're calling it Deppformation. Get it? Deppformation. Yeah. I thought it was funny. Copper, you're supposed to laugh. Copper just writes LOL on the board. Like, that's that doesn't have the same impact as you laughing on the microphone.
I suppose board interns probably behind this.
Yeah, well, there you go. All right, hey, listen, let me just move on. All right, that's enough of that. Amber Heard, Johnny Depp, you know, just sad if you get down to it, just really sad. You know, people who have everything in life, people who have more in their bank account than most people will see in five combined lifetimes, and they can't get their acts together, and they wind up like this, having their lives dragged through the mud. It's just not good. All right, listen, I'm going to switch over here. Top of the hour, State Senator Chris Elliott's going to be on. He had a piece, I think I read it on Yellowhammer the other day, that basically said that he, as a Republican state senator, believes it would be a bad idea for the state of Alabama to expand Medicaid. Now, if you're not familiar, here's the deal. I think roughly one-fourth of the entire population of the state of Alabama is currently on some form of Medicaid. I mean, there's the CHIPS program, that's, you know, for kids. There's full-on Medicaid, and all of this expanded nationwide under Obamacare. When Obamacare came into law, there was this massive piece of it that encouraged all of the states to expand their Medicaid programs, with the federal government providing an increased level of match. Because what happens is, in the Medicaid, it's state administered, but it's largely funded through federal dollars. So the states get a grant from the federal government in an amount commensurate with their Medicaid enrollment, and then they match that to a level, and that's how Medicaid exists. I can tell you right now, while I was in the state Senate for 8 years, that literally one of the biggest expenditures in every annual budget was Medicaid. Literally, Medicaid and corrections consumed something in the neighborhood of 60%. That's corrections being prisons. Medicaid and corrections combined consumed something in the neighborhood of 60%, if I recollect, of the entire general fund budget. Everything else in the general fund, like mental health and state troopers and court systems and all those things, they were scrapping for money every time we had a budget process, while Medicaid just continued to gobble up more like a Pac-Man. It was just unreal. Well, Alabama is one of only about a dozen or so states that has resisted the federal government's urging to expand Medicaid even further under the Obamacare Act. Why? Well, first of all, why is because when the legislature was more conservative, which is, you know, during the 2010 to 2018 timeframe, when there was a more conservative bent within the body of the legislature, we resisted it. And initially, we were also joined in that by Governor Robert Bentley, who later changed his mind. Governor Bentley began to call for Medicaid expansion later, but by then we weren't going to do it. I recall in the early stages of my term in Montgomery, the discussion was that, sure, the federal government will cover down on the extra costs for the first couple of years. And then after that, we were going to see roughly $221 million more per year that we had to put into Medicaid just to make it work. Well, it's more than that now. And what they have done under Obamacare, just so you know, what they've done is they said that states that expand will have to allow the enrollment of every citizen who is operating at 138% of the poverty level or below. In other words, it's not those who are in poverty. It's not the impoverished who are being cared for by Medicaid. It's those who are 138% of the income of the poverty level. Well, that's interesting. Why did we do that? Why did we go way beyond? See, what happens is when you raise the income level, you've expanded the availability. You've expanded the enrollment pool. If you keep it at the poverty level, then maybe you have, you know, 1 million people. Well, let's go ahead and say 750,000 people. But when you raise the income level for eligibility, you can have more people. And what that does, though, is it creates more expenditure, but it also creates more opportunities for hospitals to get reimbursed for their billing. Now, I get it. Hospitals are not in the business of losing money. But right now, the Hospital Association is the number one benefactor of Medicaid expansion, and they are also the number one proponent, you can imagine, of Medicaid expansion. So here's a couple things for you. There's another organization here in the state called PARCA. The Public Affairs Research Council of Alabama, I believe I've forgotten what PARCA stands for, but I think that's it. And PARCA is one of those organizations that's not like the Alabama Policy Institute, where at API, what we write is guided by principles. At PARCA, they just do research, and they often get commissioned to do studies. In this case, they're being paid by the Hospital Association to do a study that then winds up benefiting the Hospital Association. So there's that. This story came out in January of this year. Headline from AL Daily News, written by Mary Sell. She's a good reporter, but the story says, quote, PARCA report makes the financial case for Medicaid expansion. Well, let me start off by saying that if you are a fiscal conservative, you understand the fact that there is no free lunch. The fact that you're expanding Medicaid does not mean taxpayers aren't paying for it. It means taxpayers are paying more for it. No, Phil, the money comes from the federal government. The federal government is going to send more money down here. It's going to be a huge influx of cash to the state. Okay, where does the federal government get that money? Oh, that's right, taxpayers. Well, what happens when the federal government is struggling budget-wise? Well, guess what? You increase entitlements, and people feel entitled to it. And then when times get hard, like the current economy that we have now, what's the answer? Raise taxes or just print money and go into debt? One or the other. That's where we are. So right now, according to Parca, expanding Medicaid in Alabama to cover adults up to 138% of the federal poverty level would increase enrollment by as many as 283,000 people and have an economic impact of $1.89 billion per year over the next 6 years. Oh, sunshine and roses, unicorns are dancing on rainbows. This is wonderful. Cost to the state would increase by an average of $225 million per year above the current Medicaid expenditures. Okay. However, the state would also see an estimated average annual savings of $397.8 million in those same 6 years. Wow. That's a net savings of $170. You mean it's going to cost us less to do more? How does this happen? It's magic. Magic, I tell you. Medicaid magic is upon us. The report claims that expansion would create an average of 20,083 jobs. Parca says the study was intended to address the concerns of state leaders, including Governor Kay Ivey. Alabama is one of only 12 states that has not expanded Medicaid under the 2010 Affordable Care Act, which, insert by Phil Williams, is known as Obamacare. So the budget chairman in the House, Representative Steve Klaus, he's quoted in this article by saying, there's some good points to Medicaid expansion, particularly for providers like hospitals, but there's a lot of recurring costs. It's hard to say because Medicaid rules change so much, and that's the point. That's another point. Is don't think for a second that this free lunch doesn't also come with stringers. Because when the federal government provides money, they can always tell you what you have to do with it. And the next thing you know, there's going to be a federal diversity, equity, and inclusion mandate, or there's going to wind up being something that says you have to increase the expansion now to 172% of the poverty level, or there's going to be something else that comes along, or by the way, hey, I'm sorry, we're having trouble cutting checks this month. Y'all are going to have to cover down on it, Alabama. Well, already we're seeing in some states that it's gone, you know, a lot more than what they thought it would. Copper, run us to a break. Let's go ahead and do a break right now. We're going to come back and keep talking about to Medicaid or not to Medicaid. Well, conservatives say no. Liberals and squishy moderates say, why would we not? We got to do it. Federal government will give us the money. There is no free lunch. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So, hey, listen, I'm finishing up this segment right now with, what do we got here? Medicaid or not to Medicaid? I mean, that is the question, right? To Medicaid or not to Medicaid? Well, listen, there's any number of opinions, and opinions are flying left and right on this, but you can tell right now, sometimes you can see things coming, you can smell it in the air. Well, the Hospital Association, they've got this Parca report. Oh, they're touting it. Oh, it's going to be great for us. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to bring jobs. It's going to bring money. All right, well, then you find out that right after that, the Birmingham Medical News puts out their newsletter April 12th of last year. And we see a story called What Will Alabama Lose by Not Expanding Medicaid? And they go in and talk about all the same things, all the jobs, all the things. And, of course, who do they quote? They quote Dane Howard, who is the head of the Alabama Hospital Association. I know her. Dane's a good advocate for what she does, but she's going to advocate for what her association wants, not necessarily what the state needs. And then you go to the other side of the spectrum. When you begin to look at this from a conservative standpoint, you have to ask yourself, how is this fully sustainable? Because right now, a report by the Alabama Policy Institute from 2019, actually, Says states that expanded Medicaid have signed up more than twice as many able-bodied adults than expected, and per-person costs have exceeded original estimates by a whopping 76%, according to a 2018 report by the Foundation for Government Accountability. This led to cost overruns of 157%, the report showed, with Medicaid now accounting for one of every three state budget dollars. That's what we're looking at here, because there is no free lunch. It points out here that Dr. Daniel Sutter, an economics professor at Troy University, said, "We'll have to find $250 million more dollars in the state general fund every year, even when revenues are declining in recessions, and that Alabama's perennial budget crisis is often due largely to having to pay for Medicaid every year." On top of that, I've got an article here from National Review. National Review, very conservative with the broader perspective of looking around the nation as a whole. They cite much the same, and in talking about the case study of a North Carolina attempt to expand in October of just this past year, they say some of the same things. And what I did not realize was that the U.S., you know, the federal government under the Biden administration, remember the Build Back Better bill, the $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill they were trying to run through that thankfully Joe Manchin stood in the way of, that even that bill contained a provision that National Review says would have done an end run around those states who had not expanded their Medicaid by covering the population who would otherwise have been covered had their state chosen to expand. In other words, they were going to supplant state authority and do it anyway. That's how desperate they are to make this happen and to create more entitlements. Here's the thing. They point out something that I think is extremely important. It's not always about throwing dollars at it. It's not always about taking what I would call the expensive, cheap way out. They point out in this National Review article three things that can be done in states around the nation that would have a dramatic impact, and I know they would in Alabama. Not the least of which is what they call certificate of need laws. Did you know that in Alabama, if you want to open a medical clinic, a medical facility of any type, you have to get approval for it from Montgomery before you're allowed to do it? That's limiting the free market. So when you talk about how hard it is to find rural health care, I guarantee you, the free market would find a way to put an advanced medical clinic in a rural setting if the certificate of need laws were out of the way. Or how about expanding the pool of providers by allowing things like, you know, taking telehealth to the next level? Or about expanding highly trained advanced practice nurses in the states? Things like that can make a difference in the provision of health care, because here's the deal. Just because you expanded coverage under Medicaid does not mean you've actually expanded care. All right, folks, stay tuned. We're coming right back with State Senator Chris Elliott. Going to be talking to him about his position as a state senator on not expanding Medicaid. Curious to hear how he thinks the rest of the caucus looks at this. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.